Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotionals. Today's passage comes from Judges chapter 6, verses 28 to 40. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And after they had searched and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Then the men of the town said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down." Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he broke down his altar. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezerites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, "Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me just test once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and all the ground there was dew. Amen. In last week's passage, an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon with a mission to go save Israel from the hand of Midian. Despite his lonely status of being from the weakest clan of Manasseh, God picked Gideon to strike the Midianites as one man. Doubtful, he asked for a sign to show to confirm everything. God not only showed up with a sign of the fire springing up from the rock, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. Gideon asked for a sign, and God gave it to him. He witnessed all these things, yet we find in today's passage that Gideon asked for another one, and then one more. Why do you think Gideon did that? Was he just unsure what God wanted him to do? Maybe he was trying to discern God's will. Well, Gideon is not attempting to find God's will for his life here. The angel made it very clear to him in Judges 6:16, saying, "The Lord said, 'I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.'" Maybe Gideon was afraid and wanted more confirmation. That's very likely, but the angel of the Lord did give several affirmations of what God was saying to Gideon. Verse 12, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Verse 16, "I will be with you." Verse 23, "Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." When Gideon asked, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign," God showed up and Gideon is favored. So why did Gideon ask for all these signs? He asked for another sign because his faith was weak and he didn't trust God. Perhaps we see ourselves in Gideon. "God, I'll obey you if you can confirm one more time that this is what I'm supposed to do. If I get this job, then I'll do that. If I can get this relationship, then I'll do this. If. When I first was learning about street evangelism, I was so terrified about the idea of sharing my faith with a complete stranger. I was scared that I was going to get rejected or judged. I remember the first time I went out with a team in New York in 2015. I kept pacing with my group back and forth, leading them in random circles around the park, avoiding people I could spot from my peripheral. I honestly don't remember much of the details of me testing God, but it probably went something like this. "Oh, this person looks too busy to talk. She's on her phone," as the person shortly puts her phone away. "Oh, she's at the playground. She's probably too busy watching her kid from afar. Don't want to distract her," as promptly the kid comes and is chilling on the seat next to her. I felt like every excuse I was making in my mind, God was taking them away. My group encouraged us to go, and as the only semi-Spanish speaker in the group, I was tasked with doing the main talking with the woman. Long story short, this woman ended up giving her life to Jesus that day. Turns out a few months prior, some other Christians came and talked to her about Jesus. So when we showed up, it was confirmation for her to really listen, believe, and to give her life to Christ. Isn't that amazing? What could have been missed if I disobeyed God? I had such little faith and trust in God and was so focused on my own needs and my fear of being rejected. Kevin DeYoung from Christ Covenant Church preached, "We don't need dreams, visions, fleeces, and signs to know God's will. He has already revealed his plan for our lives to love him with our whole hearts and to obey his word." Gideon's faith was a weak faith. It was like the Jews who kept demanding signs from Jesus, yet despite seeing miracle after miracle, they still put him to death. To be fair though, I do admire Gideon's faith. He had a terrifying journey ahead of him, and I'm not sure if I personally would even ask God for a sign, even once, because I probably would have fled the other direction like Jonah. Gideon had faith of a mustard seed, and that mustard seed faith was enough. It was sometimes weak, but it was there. But this story is not about Gideon. This story is about God and his faithfulness to us, to a people completely undeserving of his patience and loving kindness. God didn't need to, quote, deal with Gideon. He could have used anyone else or gone through any other means to complete the mission. Yet he is faithful to meet broken, unlikely people where they are. He is faithful to invite us in his kingdom work. God is really faithful. He will always be faithful and always will continue to be. And this is a really beautiful reflection of Jesus. Jesus is the one who did not doubt God's will and obeyed him with full faithfulness and obedience, even to death on a cross. So our application question for today is this: is your faith life more like Gideon's or like Jesus? What does our faith like look like? Let's take some time today to examine our hearts and devote our day to him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today's message, your word that is such a beautiful reminder of your faithfulness to us. God, forgive us for the many different ways where we are like Gideon, where we are so hesitant to obey you, so fearful of what will happen, so fearful of living our lives because we are so dependent on ourselves and lacking in trust in you. God, I pray that today, as we devote our day to you, that you would give us a greater assurance of who you are. God, increase our faith in you, increase our trust in you. We want to be like Jesus, where we obey you and follow you with faithfulness. So make us more and more like him today. Give us, God, opportunities to be able to practice this. So we thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.